Ruth chapter number 2 this evening, and Ruth chapter number 2, and last week we started the second chapter here in the book of Ruth, but we only made it a few verses into the chapter, and that is because Ruth chapter 2 introduces to us a couple of principles that when understood properly certainly assist us in grasping the content of the book of Ruth. And so last week on Wednesday evening we spent our time together looking at those first three verses of Ruth chapter number 2, and we looked at those two principles that are biblical and familiar to those to whom would have been the original recipients of the book of Ruth and familiar with the timing and what have you. But sometimes as we begin to think about our culture and where we are, so many years removed, not as familiar with some of these principles, and we see the principle that is introduced to us of the kinsmen, and we dealt with that last week on Wednesday evening, and then the second principle was the principle of gleaning, and the principle of the kinsmen and the principle of gleaning. You'll remember from our text of Scripture that in verse number 2, Ruth makes a request to Naomi. Notice it says this, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And Naomi responded to Ruth and said, "Go, my daughter." A little over 10 years of time is covered in the first chapter of the book of Ruth. But when you look at Ruth chapter number 2, really from verse number 1 down through about verse number 21, 22, it's one day that is covered almost in the entirety of the chapter. The only thing that makes it more than one day is that verse 23 is kind of a synopsis and says that she gleaned until the end of barley harvest. Apart from that, the chapter and the events that are contained therein take place in one day. And we find that as we look at this portion of Scripture that Ruth made that request to Naomi. Naomi said, "Go, my daughter." And the Bible tells us that she went and she came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And of course, as we looked and we mentioned last week as we closed our study, the reality is that God's leadership is obvious in the account that is given to us. Our God is sovereign and He's leading. And she, Ruth, is not aware at this particular time that the field in which she's working, gleaning, is a field that belongs to Boaz, who is a near kinsman. And that is given to us as the readers of this particular book. So as we continue this evening, we'll begin looking at verse 4 down through verse number 13. I've simply titled the message this evening, Boaz Meets Ruth. Boaz Meets Ruth. Notice in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And behold," so you see the setting, we dealt with it very quickly in verse 2 and 3, and we mentioned last week that principle of gleaning. Remember, the reapers went out to reap, and then there would be, they weren't supposed to make clear riddance of the corners, and if anything fell, they were supposed to leave it. Why? Because that was the poor, those that were widows, that was what God had commanded, where they would go and get their sustenance. And so we find that she's out there, so you can kind of get in your mind's eye what's taking place. There are reapers that are reaping, and then there's some gleaners that are out there that are gleaning. I said this last week that gleaning is exponentially harder than reaping, and you have to travel long places and long distances within the field to gather enough sustenance to be able to provide for what you need. And we find that she's there and she's gleaning. And the Bible says in verse number 4, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this?" As you're looking at this portion of Scripture this evening, if you're taking notes, number one, the inquiry of Boaz. I see in verses 4 and 5 an inquiry that is made on the part of Boaz. It's interesting in verse number 4. It really is just a customary greeting that we read of where the Bible says that he, Boaz, comes and he says to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answer him, "The Lord bless thee." And a very common, customary type of greeting that you would see there recorded for us in verse verse number 4. But then something very interesting happens in verse number 5. The text of Scripture just zeroes in and focuses on Boaz having a conversation with one of his servants, a servant that was set over the reapers. And notice the inquiry. It's simply this: whose damsel is this? Whose damsel is this? Now, this evening, as I think about this inquiry, and we could just really, as we're reading through the text of Scripture, we could easily just pass right by this. But the Lord just kind of stopped me with this thought as I was looking through and preparing for the message and thinking about Boaz and understanding this evening that Boaz was a busy man. Boaz was a man with a lot of responsibilities. The Bible tells us in verse number 1 that this man, Boaz, that he was a mighty man of wealth. And we find that he would have had many responsibilities. And understanding all that's taking place, he's got his reapers out there that are reaping, that are bringing in the harvest, and all these things that are taking place. And yet he stops and he inquires about an individual that's gleaning in his field. Now, understand, as we looked at the principle of gleaning last week, the gleaning, those that are doing gleaning, those are the poor, the widows, the orphans. That's who they are. That's what the principle was set forth by the Lord for them to be able to provide for themselves and to have that sustenance. And as I begin to look at this and see the inquiry where this man Boaz says, whose damsel is this? I have this thought this evening: people matter. People matter. And let me say it this way. Let's not be too busy in life that we ignore or overlook the people that God brings in our lives. You know, I think it's easy for that to happen. We live in such a fast-paced culture and society. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can fall into the trap that's so common in our day-to-day, that people are problems, that people are just in the way. They're just obstacles to me trying to accomplish what I need to accomplish. Do you understand what I'm saying this evening? And sometimes if we're not careful, we too can have that kind of a mindset where, hey, I have something I have to get done. I have some things to get accomplished, and these people are just in my way, and they're obstacles. But I think about Boaz this evening, and I think about the inquiry that he makes, and he says, whose damsel is this? And I think about this man being a mighty man of wealth and the responsibilities that he would have, and that he was concerned about an individual, and people matter. People matter. And we think about every single person that we come into contact with. If we believe the Bible this evening, and I believe that we do, that every single person that we come into contact with in our lives is someone that's going to spend forever in one of two places. Amen? We believe that biblically. Biblically, every single person that we come into contact with, they're going to spend forever in one of two places: in heaven with our Lord and Savior, or in the lake of fire. And people matter. Every single person we come into contact with. And sometimes, I understand, sometimes people can bother us. Sometimes people can be annoying. Sometimes we can be annoying, right? If we're not careful, everybody else is annoying. Well, everyone else thinks you're annoying. And that's just how it works, right? But the reality this evening is that I think, as I look at the text and really just opening statements with regard to what we see here in this this interaction between Boaz and Ruth, I see that he makes this inquiry, and it reveals to me that he was concerned about people. I believe this evening that as we look at this text of Scripture and as the book of Ruth unfolds for us, and of course many of us are familiar with the entirety of the book. We've read it, we've studied it, we know the content at some level. But the reality is that I believe that both Ruth and Boaz were extremely thankful that he made this inquiry. What if he had just been too busy and just kind of went on to the next thing, never even noticing the damsel Ruth that was gleaning in his field to take the time to even inquire as to who she was? And this evening, I think about this portion of Scripture and thinking about this simple thought and understanding tonight that our Lord is interested in individuals. You think about that. You trace the steps of Jesus as you go through the New Testament, you read the gospel accounts, and so often as you read through the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see Jesus interested in individuals. or there were crowds that would follow him. There were crowds of people that would come, but you find that he's interested in the individuals. He'll speak to individuals and he'll heal the individual. And what a blessing to think that in the multitudes he said unto a certain man. Isn't that awesome? And I think about my life, I think about your life, God's interested in us as individuals. And we ought to be thankful for that, but we also ought to understand that as our Lord is concerned about individuals and interested in individuals, that we as His children are to be Christ-like, and as followers of Christ, we too must be interested in people. People matter. And we see, as we start looking at this portion of this second chapter of the book of Ruth, we see the inquiry of Boaz. Then number two, if you're taking notes, I want you to notice the instruction from Boaz. So Boaz makes the inquiry in verse number five, whose damsel is this? He receives the answer in verse six. The servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. And if I make a statement before I get into the instruction in verses 8 and 9, as this servant answers Boaz with regard to his inquiry of whose damsel is this, we find that the servant doesn't even know her name. At least he doesn't give the name Ruth. He just says that she's the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. But notice again the work ethic, as you see in verse number 7. It says that she came and she asked, I pray you, let me glean and gather. But notice the end of the verse. It says, so she came and hath continued even from the morning until now. And it says this, that she tarried a little in the house, and they would have temporary shelters that would be set up for workers out in the field. You can understand the heat and all the things and under the sun. And she spent a little time there, but really she's busy working. And we mentioned last week that when Ruth asked that question in verse number 2, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace, that her request revealed to us her work ethic and her willingness to go work. And we live in a time today where unfortunately many do not have much of a work ethic. In fact, I was speaking to a business owner just on Saturday, and as I was talking to that business owner, he said, you know how hard it is to find work people that just will work. That's what he said to me. I was standing on the side talking to him. I know him personally, and I won't mention his name or the establishment that he's a business owner of because someone else might know who they are, but I'm having this conversation with this individual, and he says, you know, people just don't want to work today. And Naomi was willing to work, and she worked, or excuse me, Ruth was willing to work, and she worked hard, and she worked throughout the day. But notice the instruction that is given. In verse number 8, the Bible says, then said Boaz unto Ruth. And so we find that, as I mentioned, the title of the message, that Boaz meets Ruth, that now he's going to give her instruction personally. He's going to deliver it to her. It's interesting to me that he does not have the servant deliver the instruction, but he himself goes and delivers the instruction. Notice in verse number 8, he says, hearest thou not, my daughter? In other words, kind of a way of saying, listen up, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Go not, the first aspect of this instruction, number one, is go not to glean in another field. Go not to glean in another field. Now, is that pretty simple? Pretty straightforward, isn't it? And Boaz says to Ruth, go not to glean in another field. Notice he continues and says, neither go from hence. And then he says this, but abide here fast by my maidens. And so Boaz is going to provide this instruction to Ruth with regard to her continual gleaning. Now remember, they arrived in Bethlehem, according to chapter number 1 and verse number 22, in the beginning of barley harvest, and she made that request that she could go out and glean, and she comes and she's working in the field of Boaz, and Boaz makes inquiry, he understands who she is, and he says, listen, don't go to any other field. abide here fast by my maidens. I want you to notice that not only does he give her instruction, but I want you to notice in verse number 9, the Bible says this, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. So she was to be attentive as to where these reapers that were working for Boaz, the field where they were going, she was to be attentive, and that is where she was to go to glean. But notice what else he says, have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? I see a measure of protection that is provided for Ruth on the part of Boaz. Boaz says, I've charged the young men that they shall not touch thee. And what a blessing to think about Boaz understanding all of the needs that she would have and understanding the responsibility. And he goes and he says that he's already done this. And so obviously, between his inquiry and his instruction, there's some conversation that takes place. And the Bible says that he's charged these young men that they shall not touch thee. A measure of protection is given for Ruth. And then he says this in verse number 9, notice, and when thou art athirst, because guess what? He knew she's going to get thirsty, right? He was aware of what the basic needs were going to be that Ruth would have. He says, I've given you protection. But then he says, when you're thirsty, when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. The provision for Ruth. And I love what we see here in verses 8 and 9 where the instruction is given, but I want you to see the connection between the instruction and the protection and provision. Where is it that Ruth would have that protection? Where is it that Ruth would have that provision? It would be as she stays in the field, that she doesn't go somewhere else. That she's abiding here fast by my maidens. And we begin to understand as we look here again later on next week when we study. But notice in verse number 14, the Bible says this, and Boaz said unto her, when you think about this provision, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. You think about the provision for Ruth. Now, as we look at this particular book and we understand the immediate context and understanding the truth of this dynamic, this interaction between Ruth and Boaz and all that would take place and the kinsman redeemer I mentioned last week and even in the very beginning of studying the book of Ruth, that really the greatest aspect of the book of Ruth is the picture, the spiritual application of our redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that he came as a man. By the way, he had to. If you look in the book of Hebrews, you understand that he didn't come as an angel. Why? Because an angel can't redeem mankind. He had to come as a man after the seed of Abraham so that he could redeem us. By the way, just a side note, a lot of the modern translations mess that whole thing up with regard to the seed of Abraham and an angel, and you go ahead and try to teach the truth of God's word with regard to redemption from that type of a translation, you're going to get in all kinds of trouble. It's a mess. And this evening, we look at this and we begin to think about our Redeemer, and we think about what he does for us and how we're to abide in him. Right? Now, is that what Jesus said in John 15? Abide in me. We find here that Boaz says to Ruth, abide here fast by my maidens. Stay in this field. Don't go to another field. We find that he says there's going to be protection for you. There's going to be provision for you. Listen, this evening, I'm so thankful that my Savior, my Redeemer, he protects me. He provides for me. Haven't you experienced the protection and provision of God Almighty? But we understand this evening that just as the case was there for Ruth, that protection and provision was available to her while she was where she was supposed to be. Sometimes we get this idea as Christians, you know, Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, go wander and do what you want to do. He said, follow me. And sometimes as Christians, we get this idea that we can just go do whatever we want to do and then just keep on claiming the promises of the book and saying every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. Yeah, it's a wonderful song. I love it. But the reality is that the promises, many of God's promises, are conditional promises. And he said, follow me. Follow me. And we find this evening, we think about this truth, this instruction that Boaz gives to Ruth to go not and glean into another field, to abide here fast by my maidens. And we see that measure of protection and provision that would have been afforded for Ruth. I'm overwhelmed with understanding what our God, what my Savior has done for me and how he provides and protects us. What a tremendous blessing. So we see the inquiry, we see the instruction. I want you to notice with me number three this evening, the impact on Ruth. Notice the impact on Ruth. Verse 10, then she fell on her face. Can you imagine? I mean, think about everything she's experienced. Think about as we study the first chapter where this family from Jerusalem, from Bethlehem, excuse me, this family from Israel, from Jerusalem, they move to Moab and there's this marriage that takes place and Ruth becomes part of the family and she begins to hear, but father-in-law and husband and brother-in-law, they all die and she's there and she hears and she says, I'm going back with you because your people are going to be my people and your God's going to be my God. And she goes back and she says to Naomi, let me go and glean in a field. And she says this in verse number 2, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she's out there gleaning and she's working and it's hot and it's hard work. And then Boaz comes and talks to her. And Boaz tells her all that we just rehearsed. And the Bible says that she fell on her face. I believe this evening that her response, as we think about the impact on Ruth, I believe that her response was one of being amazed, one of being overwhelmed. I think about what the songwriter said, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me. Amen? You ever wonder that? You ever stand amazed? And I believe that Ruth is in this position. She falls on her face. Notice what she says, and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Why? Notice, she continues, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger. I love the Bible. You know what Paul talks about we are in the book of Ephesians? We're strangers. We're strangers. But then he says that we're no longer strangers, we're citizens. That's wonderful. She says, why would I find grace in thine eyes? Well, I believe that in verse number 2, when she made that statement that she would go to a field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace, it was coming to pass just as she desired. God had been orchestrating and leading and directing. And we mentioned Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we find that here she's overwhelmed. I believe that she's amazed at what has transpired. And notice what Boaz says to her as he provides explanation in verse number 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. And then notice in verse number 12, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. And then notice the statement, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now, as we begin to think about this explanation that Boaz provides in these couple of verses of Scripture in verse 11 and 12, I see that he's referencing her testimony in verse number 11. It hath been fully showed me. If you look over in chapter number 3, in verse number 11, you see the testimony there as well. It says this, and now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And so we find that he's referencing the testimony, but then we see that he's referencing her faith, because he says at the end of verse number 12, about the a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now, Psalm 91 is a familiar psalm to us. I want you to take and hold your place there in the book of Ruth, but turn over to Psalm 91 here just for a moment. In Psalm 91, I want you to think about the statement that we read here and the connection that we see in our passage here in the book of Ruth in the second chapter. But in Psalm 91, and we look at this particular psalm, and many have debated over the years as to who, humanly speaking, may have been the author of this particular psalm. Psalm 90 is ascribed to Moses, and some believe that Psalm 91 as well could have been penned by Moses. And certainly if that were the case, this would help with regard to Boaz understanding this statement, because this psalm would have been familiar. But in verse number 4, it says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." We think about that psalm and that statement with regard to what Boaz says, under whose wings thou art come to trust, speaking of her faith. And then we're reminded, that as you look through the passage of Scripture and you understand that the son that will be born at the end of the book of Ruth is Obed, and he's the father of Jesse, who is the father of David, and David is the sweet psalmist of Israel. You know what David says over in Psalm 36 in verse number 7? And this is just fascinating to think about the statement that Boaz makes with regard to the faith of Ruth and his understanding and invoking this blessing upon her. But notice in Psalm 36 and verse number 7, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." Again, over in chapter 57 of the book of Psalms, in the first verse of that particular psalm, the Bible, a psalm again that's ascribed to David, the Bible says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. Why? For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." You know, Ruth had this testimony, but she also had faith. And Boaz says, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Notice after this interaction between Ruth and Boaz that she makes the statement in verse 13 in which she recognizes how the Lord was at work. Notice what she says back in Ruth 2 and verse 13. "Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." As we look at verse number 13, I notice two things that she recognizes very quickly in closing. Number one, she says of Boaz that thou hast comforted me. You know, it's amazing that God will use other people from time to time in our lives to comfort us. But the most amazing thing is that God is the God of all comfort. And even when we might feel like, how could I provide comfort to someone else? Or what, you ever been in a place where you feel like you're at a loss of words? I don't know what to say. Many times in that position, it's best to just not say anything. And we find that the God of all comfort, according to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, He's able to comfort us. The Holy Spirit, He is the comforter. And here, Ruth acknowledges and she recognizes as Boaz has made these statements to her and this interaction is recorded for us, she says, "Thou hast comforted me." But then she also says this, "For thou that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid." So what was it that Ruth recognizes that Boaz was doing that was used to bring comfort? It was his words. His words. You know, God's word comforts us. It really does. I'm thankful that God's given us His Word. It's a perfect Word. It's a preserved Word. It's a powerful Word. We could go on and on of just all of the attributes of God's Word. But I'm thankful that God's Word will comfort the hearts of His children. And I'm so thankful that every day of your life and every day of my life that we have the opportunity. Listen, we can have a Bible. You can pull your Bible out and you can read it. Many of us have it on our phones, and we can be sitting anywhere waiting for whatever, and we can just go and we can open up and we can begin to read the Word of God and be comforted. What a blessing. See, the words of Boaz, because he spoke friendly unto her, the words of Boaz provided comfort to Ruth. I don't want to over-apply or spiritualize what we're dealing with here in the book of Ruth, but there's a beautiful picture that God gives us. And we see the interactions between Ruth and Boaz. And this evening, I believe it's abundantly clear as we can easily make spiritual application in our own lives. Listen, I'm so thankful that God cared about me as an individual. I hope this evening that you recognize and are rejoicing that God loves you and cares about you as an individual. I preached a message this year, earlier in the year, talking about the love of God and God's great love and how God's love is described. And I listed a whole number of things and verses with regard to describing the love of God. And I said it's a universal love, but it's also an individual love. And it's an amazing truth, it's an amazing concept of God's Word that He could say, for God so loved the world, everyone universally, of all time, for all of creation, He loves every single person. But then to understand, as John wrote, the one whom Jesus loved. Individually, He loves us and He pursues us and He's interested in us, and we can go to Him in prayer and know that He cares. And what a blessing this evening. We see that Boaz, though busy and though a man of great responsibility, he took time to make the inquiry. Whose damsel is this? People matter. People matter. And then as we think about the instruction and the connection between the instruction and the benefits, if you will, the protection and the provision, that it was directly linked to the fact that she would abide in those fields. Listen, we need to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to follow Him. I'm so thankful that He'll provide for us and He'll protect us. But He said, follow me. Again, He didn't say, go live, do whatever you want to do. And no, He said, follow me. And this evening, I hope that we would be, as we think about the impact on Ruth, I hope that we just never grow old of recognizing how wonderful our Savior is and understanding how amazing it is to be saved, that we would stand in awe and we'd stand in amazement and wonder how the God of the universe could love any one of us to save us and to use us. It's absolutely amazing. And it's such a precious truth that we find within the Word of God. And as we go through life, we find that God comforts us. God provides for us. God protects us. And what a tremendous blessing. This evening we read of where Boaz meets Ruth. We'll continue next week in verse 14 and continue down as we make way through the book of Ruth. Let's pray together. Father, we do love You. We thank You so much for loving us. And Lord, we thank You for this book of Ruth and thank You for the content. We thank You for the account that is recorded for us and the opportunity that we have to make application in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to draw close to Thee, Lord. Help us to abide in Thee. Help us, Lord, to follow You. I pray that You'd bless our time of prayer. We do thank You for the privilege of prayer. We thank You that You're a God who hears and answers, that You're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I pray, Lord, that You'd move and work through this aspect of our ministry tonight. And we'll thank You for all that You'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's start on the back and look at some updates from our missionaries. And the first one from